let's dive straight into God's Word. We are in the New Testament, looking at people who encountered Jesus, people who met Jesus. So today we are in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. This is a very familiar passage. You might have heard it read or preached on many times, but I encourage you to open your hearts and hear what God has for you today. Matthew 28, the Word of God says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Earlier on, before Sean came up, we had a question that we were talking about with the people seated around us. What's the most scared you have ever been? And I'm sure that there's some stories out there. I would love to hear all the stories of what's the most scared that you have ever been. And I know you got to share that with the person seated next to you, but I get the opportunity to share mine with all of you, so you get to know how scared I get. But anyway, well, I'm sure there's many other things that have happened, but this is one I could think of, the most scared I have ever been. So this was maybe a few years ago. I lived here in Lilongwe. My parents were living in Zumba, which is about 4 hours drive south. And one day, I got a phone call from my sister in the evening. She's like, "Oh, Dad's getting surgery tomorrow." I was like, "What now?" She's like, "Oh, Ababa is getting surgery tomorrow." I was like, as far as I was concerned, he was fine. Like, everything was, you know, a-okay. And I was just like, where is this coming from? How does someone just get surgery? Like, why? How? Apparently he had hernia. I don't even know what it is. I didn't even check what it was, but I was just like, what? This is no. Like, surgery is just no. If he has a headache, he'll be fine. Surgery was just a little too much for me. And so the next morning I woke up, got on the bus to go to Zumba. I was just like, I cannot just sit here and not. I have to go there. And so I got on the bus going to Zumba, and I got on the bus, sat down, and for most of the way I just cried. I cried, I prayed, I cried, I prayed, I cried, I cried, I cried. Because, you know, my dad, at this time he was maybe 65. Yeah, at this point he was maybe 65. And up until this point, I had never seen my dad sick. Like, really sick. You know, like, he was just one of those people who's just like always, you know, healthy and, you know, like, all is good. You know, he was that kind of person. Like, I had never seen my dad sick. And so I was just like, what is going on? So from nothing, from not being sick to having surgery, it was just a little too much for me, you know. He would get sick, like, you know, when he got sick, it would be the small things, the man flu. Okay, let's not get into that. But like, the small things like the man flu, that's what he would, get sick from. Like, but that would happen like once every 7 or so years. But then, so, like, I remember, like, sitting on the bus and just thinking, I'd never been this scared in my life. And there were all these questions going on in my mind, and like I did not want to think about it, and all I did was just cry. And so I got there, found my mom at the hospital. We sat down, had a chat, prayed some more. I went and walked somewhere, came back, and then, you know, it was time for him to come out of surgery, and they bring him out on the gurney. Yes, yes, thank you. Yeah, I watched those shows. They bring him out on the gurney, and he's, you know, lying down there just still. And like, I just cry some more. I'm just like, no. I was just, no, this is not happening. And then I go stand by his side, and he opens his eyes and he sees me. And I can't remember what it is that he says, but he said something, and all of us just started laughing. My dad's like that. You think I'm crazy? You should meet my dad. He's just like way out there. Like, I know some of you think, not all of you, some of you think I'm crazy. My dad's crazier. Like, he's, you know, he's goofy. He's like, you know, he's like that. And so, you know, he opened his eyes, said something. The nurses and the patients around him, my mom and I, we were all laughing. And I was just like, whew, he's going to be fine. It's gonna be okay. But I remember, like, that day, I had never been that scared in my life. And there were all these questions. I'm just like, I did not even want to think about, you know, what was gonna happen next. I was just like, no, I cannot deal with this. I had never been that scared in my life. And, you know, fear does that to you. You know, it scares you. And sometimes it sort of, like, cripples you. It, you know, stops you in your tracks. You're like, okay, like, you put everything on hold because you're just like, what am I going to do? What's happening here? That's what fear does to you. It can stop you in your tracks. It can leave you crippled, just don't know what to do, because that's what fear does. And in this passage, you know, Jesus knows that the disciples are afraid. They are scared. They do have fear. You know, with everything that has happened, they have walked with Jesus for 3 years, and they've come to this place where, you know, Jesus has died and he's risen again from the dead, but they know that this is the end. Jesus had said this, that, you know, when this happens, I'm going back to the Father. And so they know that this is the end of Jesus' journey with them. And they're scared about the future. They don't know what the future holds. And they have all these questions going on in their minds, like, okay, yeah, it's been cool doing this thing, but Jesus was taking lead, but now he's leaving. What's going to happen? How are we going to do this? Well, they have all these questions, and they're scared about the future. And so Jesus knows this, that the disciples are scared. And so when they come to this place, they come to this mountain where Jesus invited them to come, they get there, and the Bible says some of them worshipped him, but some doubted. And I just love that, you know, that phrase, but some doubted. I was like, yes! Yeah, booyaka, they doubted, oh yes! But not that doubting is good, but I feel like, I'm with you, I feel you, bro. Like, yeah, you know, I can understand this. For me, this tells me that, you know, to be a disciple of Jesus, and these men had walked with Jesus for 3 years. These are the 11 disciples he had called down, you know, he had called 3 years previous to this. And so they had walked with Jesus, and yet they come to this point, and some of them are still doubting. And this tells me that I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have it all together to be able to go on the mission that God calls me to do. And so Jesus looks at these 11, and he knows that, okay, those, yes, they believe, but he knows the ones that are doubting. He doesn't say, okay, you, okay, back to your mamas. I don't want any of this. No sissies in this thing. No doubters. Go back. He doesn't say that. He calls all of them together, and he gives them this mandate. He gives them this charge. And so for me, it's just an encouragement that even these disciples doubted. After walking with Jesus each and every day for 3 years, they still come to this place, and they're still doubting. And for me, it says, even when I doubt, even in my doubt, God still wants to use me. Even in your doubt, Jesus still wants to use you. And so they come to this place. Some of them are worshiping him. Some of them still have doubts. And Jesus can see. Jesus knows that they are afraid. They are afraid of the future. They are afraid of what is going to happen. And so Jesus, you know, says these words, a few sentences, but in saying these words, Jesus is addressing the fears that they have. Jesus deals with their fears straight on, like head on. He just says, okay, I know you have some fears. And so in saying these things, the disciples are like, okay, yeah, I had that fear. Now that he says that, okay, yes, that's gone. And so Jesus just deals with these fears head on. He says, I know you're afraid. I know you're scared. But this is what I want you to do. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about the fears that the disciples had and how Jesus dealt with those fears in this passage. And so the first fear that Jesus deals with as he gives them this mandate, this mission, this charge, I'm calling it the fear of legitimacy. Legitimacy? Legitimacy. You know? And it, you know, it's fear sort of like asks questions. It has this way of whispering in your ears all these questions, all these. So the fear of legitimacy is, who sent you? Who that sent you here? What is it that you're doing here? Who is it who sent you here? Because, you know, you want to know that I'm here because someone has sent me here. I've got the authority. I've got the command to be here. And so we do need the command. It says, under whose command are you here? And the disciples do have this fear because, remember, even previous to this, like maybe a year or so previous to this, they had gone into the temple with Jesus, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and says, under whose authority are you doing this? So the disciples know that if they dared ask Jesus this question, if we go out there, they will ask us this question. So under whose authority are we doing this? And so when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he is dealing straight on, head on, with the fear that these disciples have. You know, like they want to know what authority it is that's sending them. You know, it happens all the time, even in everyday life here. You know, want to know what authority somebody is doing something. It's like, okay, who do you think you are? Who sent you here? What people want to know under whose authority or under what authority you are doing anything. You see it all the time in movies. It's usually, you know, something like maybe there's been like a shooting. You know, there's been a shooting in a neighborhood and the police come. It's usually like LPD, NYPD. I think those are the, like the two cities in the world that have police. You don't hear of Ohio PD, Idaho PD, or Lilongwe PD. Like, it's just, those don't exist. It's like LPD or NYPD. Those are the two. You know, so you've got the captain there. He's, you know, he's in charge. He knows what he's doing. He's calling the shots. And then, you know, this black SUV pulls up. You know, this guy in a suit comes out. It's like, who's in charge here? And the captain's like, I am. He's like, he just, you know, does that to his jacket, you know? Not anymore. He just throws his badge. He's like, not anymore. I am. And it's like, but that captain, when he was the authority. He's like, you know, I've got authority over all these people. And now this other guy comes, he's got a little bit higher authority than him, you know? And sometimes the captain will just like, okay, whatever. But sometimes they'll fight it. They'll be like, no, this is not your jurisdiction. This is my case. I've been working this case for 15 years. I'm about to crack it. You cannot take this from me. And, you know, there's always something like that. And so they'll go back and forth, and then this guy will just take out his phone, punch in a few numbers, and then he'll give it to the captain, be like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's like, okay, you're in charge. So somebody else, even over that guy, has said, okay, you're no longer in charge. This guy in charge is in charge. And so you want to know the authority. He wants to have that authority. You want to know who is in authority here, who has the authority here, who has given you the authority to be here. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And, you know, in saying that, Jesus is not, you know, telling this to the disciples, he's not saying this for the sake of the people around them, wherever it is that they are going to go. But he's saying this more for the sake of the disciples, that they know that they carry an authority with them wherever it is that they go. And that this authority that they carry with them is just not any ordinary authority. This authority is higher than any authority you could think of. Because they would have been facing the Pharisees, the Sadducees. That was an authority over them. They would have been facing the Roman governors and whatever. That was an authority over them. But then they have to know that there's an authority even higher than that. Jesus is the ultimate authority. And so he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so he's sending them with his authority so that wherever it is that they go, they know that I'm not here just for my own sake. I'm not here just because Humphrey said I should be here. I'm not here just because my boss said I should be here. But that I'm here over a bigger authority, over a higher authority. And that is the authority of Jesus Christ. And so even when we talk even about things like work, school, I work with a lot of young people, and when they get a new job, or even older people, when they get a new job, maybe they got a, get a new posting, you say, my organization has sent me to such and such a town. And or even some of you who are not Malawians, maybe your organization sent you here. You say, yes, this organization sent me here. You know, but we should think more than that, deeper than that, higher than that, because it is actually God who has sent you here. It is actually God who is sending you to Kasungu. It is actually God who is sending you to Mchelewatowa. I don't even know if that is a place. Wherever it is that you're going. It is actually God. It is actually the authority of Jesus Christ that's sending you there. So when you think, it's my boss, it's my organization, I'm just following my husband, whatever it is that you think you're doing, but remember that ultimately it is God who has sent you there. Because God's authority is over all those authorities, is over the authority of your boss, is over the authority of your organization. And so it's God who is sending you there. And remember, like, you, when you have, when you know that, when you know that it's God who has given me this authority, it gives you courage. It gives you strength. It gives you confidence. It gives you pizzazz. It gives you that oomph, you know? Like, just, you know, I've got, God's with me. I'm riding on God's authority as I go and do this. And so it's more even for our own benefit. It's more for your own benefit, knowing that I've got God on my side. God is the one who's given me authority to go and do this. And so when that fear starts coming in, creeping in, just remember, whose authority are you there under? Just remember that it's Jesus who's given you the authority, because he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then second of all, he deals with the fear of performance, you know, and that's the fear that asks the questions, what should I do? Or do you know what you're doing? You know, you get into a new job and you're just overwhelmed. You're just like, I have no idea where to start. I don't know what I'm doing. I just don't know where to start. You know, you get into a new school and just like, it's just going over my head. I have no idea what I'm doing here. I don't know what it is that I need to do, what I have to do here. And so Jesus knows that the disciples have that fear. And then as he says these words, he just clearly states his mandate, clearly states what he wants them to do. He says they're overwhelmed with the scope of work that's there. But then he gives them this mandate, and he clearly states what it is that he wants them to do. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He gives them that mandate. He's like, that is what I want you to do. Don't be scared with, oh, I don't know what to do. It's too much. I don't know where to start. He just says, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so as he says this, you know, he says, go and make disciples. That it's not just about, there's an action to this. It's going and making disciples. That being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus, is more than sitting in a pew in church on Sunday. It's more than meeting with others at growth group on Tuesday or Wednesday night or wherever it is, whenever it is that you meet with others. It is more than that. It is going out and making disciples. Not that it's not good to sit in church and listen to God's word. It is good. It's good to sit down and encourage one another and help each other grow. But then the mandate that Jesus is giving us says, go and make disciples. He says, go. There are many times in which we just sit and encourage each other and hear God's word and do this. We're just sitting and just taking it all in. Yes, there is a time for learning. There is a time for taking it all in. But also there is a time to go. Jesus says, go and make disciples. He says, make disciples of all nations. You know, in making disciples, and he says, you know, it's not just about, yeah, raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus. Say this prayer after me. Okay, yes, you are in the family of God. Congratulations. We're done. But it says, make disciples. Help those people to grow. Help those people to come to a place where they know what it is really to be a Christian, to walk with God each and every day. And then he talks about the nations, says, go and make disciples of all nations. Because these people would have been inclined to go to just the Jews, but he says, go into all the nations. Go to the Romans. Go to the Siberians. Malawians. Those were the nations at that time. You know, go everywhere and make disciples. He says, make disciples of all nations. He does not leave anyone out. He says, of all nations, go and make disciples of them. You know, and so every people group, and there are still some people groups that have not been reached, but it says, all people groups, go and make disciples of them. Wherever it is that you go, whatever it is that you do, go and make disciples for Jesus. So it says, go and make disciples of all nations. And it says, baptize them in the name of a Father and of a Son and of a Holy Spirit, helping people to make a public declaration of their life in Jesus. Saying, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I am following God. Yes, I want the world to know of this that has happened to me, this great and amazing thing that has happened to me. And so he says, yeah, help them to come to the place where they can make a public declaration of what God has done in their lives. And he says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus had been teaching them to obey him over and over again. He said, if you're my disciples, you must obey me. If you do not obey me, that means you do not love me. That means you are not of me. And so they have learned this. And Jesus says, go and teach others. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That the gospel changes and transforms lives. That is what obedience to God means. Obedience to Jesus means. That it's not just, I prayed this prayer, it's all good, I'll just sit here and do whatever it is that I want. But that change has to be seen in your life. Transformation has to be seen in your life. That, yes, that person indeed has changed. That person indeed has met Jesus. And so wherever it is that we go, he says, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he says, go out there. And for us today, it might be in different places. It might be in our workplace. Whether you are a lawyer, go there and make disciples of Jesus there in your law firm. Whether you are a doctor in that hospital, go and make disciples. Whether you are a farmer or pretend to be one, there's someone here who pretends to be a farmer. Go and make disciples over there. Wherever it is, you are a student, go and make disciples on your campus. You know, wherever it is that you live in your neighborhood, go and make disciples there. That is the charge that Jesus has given us. And sometimes you might be just scared, it's like, okay, I'm scared. I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. Remember what Jesus said. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then finally, Jesus deals with the fear of surety. Which is, how is this going to end? You want to know, you want to be sure of the outcome. We always want to be sure of the outcome of things. Will, you know, if I get into this job, will this, you know, will this work out for me? Will this relationship work out well for me? I don't want to go this in if I know that, you know, 6 months down the road, it's just going to go down the toilet. I don't want to go, I don't want to do this. you want to be sure of something that you're doing. You want to be sure that, okay, it's gonna end well. It's gonna end well. You know, that's even when we think we're taking challenges, we think, I like challenges. Yeah, you know, I like new challenges. Something new, yes, I want to do that. But most of the times, we still have that inkling within us that says, okay, I'll take this challenge only if I can finish it. Only if I know that I can finish this. You know, a few weeks ago, last month, at the beginning of March, some people in the city organized a run. They said, we're going to do this run, 14 kilometers, which is a lot. 14 kilometers is not a small thing. I don't know how many it is in miles. How many miles is that? I don't know. 60? Six. 6 miles. Okay. 6 miles, so says Mwera. I don't know how true this is. They said, well, we're going to do this 14K run. So you just come, and we're going to do this. And, you know, I think it was like on a Thursday that a friend of mine said, oh, there's this run happening on a Saturday, 14Ks. It's like, what? I'm like, I can do that. And I was like, 14Ks? I was like, I've never run 14Ks in my life, ever. I think the most I had done was probably 7Ks. And like, you know, from like January up until that point, which is March, I had done 7Ks like once. Usually I'm a 3Ks kind of person, you know. I'm a 3Ks a day kind of person. But I'm like, 14Ks, it's like, I can do that. And I was like, maybe not. 14Ks sounds quite a lot. Anyway, so like 1 minute I'll be like, I'll go. And then the next I'll be like, eh. But no, like what if I faint on the side of a road? What if I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this. But then finally I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. But you know, but still within me, I was just, okay, I want to start this if I know that I can finish it. You know, I'm like, there's no point in starting when an ambulance has to carry me half of the way while I'm, you know, collapsing. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I went there on Saturday morning, did not train for this thing. I just heard on Thursday, I was like, I'll be there. Got there on Saturday morning, and I thought, like, at first I was like, okay, so if there are about 50 people, I'll be probably, like, in the last 10, which I'm like, I don't want to be the last one. Like, I don't want to do that. So I got there, and there was, like, I don't know, 250 or almost 300 people there. And I was like, okay, this looks fun. And I started seeing some of people. I was like, okay, there's no way she's outrunning me. I was okay, I'm good. There's no way he's outrunning me. I was like, I'm good. I've got this. And then the other people were like, you know what? We're just going to walk it. I was like, walk 14Ks? I was like, okay. I'm like, well, at least there'll be other people walking behind me. Like, that means I won't be the very last one. I won't be in the last 10 or even 50. I was like, I've got this. I'm good. So we went to the Bunda roundabout. So 14Ks from Bunda roundabout on the bypass to Gateway Mall. That is a long distance, people. Anyway, so we went, drove to Bunda, started running. So this is my plan. I was like, I'm only doing this if I can finish it. So my plan was, I'll start running, and wherever it is that I get tired, I'll start walking. I was like, I start with the run. If it's too much at some point, I'll start walking. I'll walk all, you know, the rest of the way. But I was just like, but I will still run. I was like, there's no way I'm just walking the whole way. I'm still running. I'll just walk if need be. But I was like, even then, I'm not getting, because I heard, it's like, oh, there'll be doctors and nurses and policemen and ambulances. I was like, okay. So they knew that there'll be others who will not make it. But anyway. So I knew that, you know, there was that chance that if you thought it was too much, you could get into an ambulance or a car. There were cars going back and forth checking on people. So, but I was just like, I do not want to do that. I do not want to get into that car. I want to do, you know, I want to do it all. I want to go the whole 9 yards. So I started running. I was like, okay, slowly but surely I'll get there. Started running slowly, you know. I got to the, I don't know, roundabout, the Likun roundabout. And at that point, I had done like 10Ks. I was like, what? I've already done 10Ks? I was like, I've got this. There's no way I'm not. I'm walking the rest of the way. I was like, I've got this. I'm Edith. I can do this. Yes, I'm going to run the whole way. And so I ran all the way to get Waymore. 14 Ks. I stopped once to get a pebble out of my shoe for like 30 seconds. But I ran the whole way, people. Applause for Edith. But you know, but I did that because I'm like, I think I can do this. I know that I can do this. If you tell me to go, if you had told me at that point, let's go run 30 Ks, I'd just be like, okay, you go ahead, because I know I cannot. So I'm not going to start something if I know that I won't be able to finish it. You know, there are other people in here. There's Louise in the back who runs, what is it, 90? 90 Ks? Louise runs these, they call them comrades, 90 kilometers. Doing that, but anyway, good for Louise that she does that, you know. But yeah, there's no way I'm gonna do that because I cannot run 90 Ks, and so I'm just not gonna do it. And so most of the times we want surety, we want assurance that this thing that I'm getting into, it's gonna pan out great. This business I'm getting into, it's gonna work out great. If you know, look at the numbers or do whatever and see that it's not gonna work out, it's like, yeah, I'm out of this. No, no thank you, no can do. And so you want to be sure of something that you're getting into, that it's going to end well, that it's going to be great, it's going to be A-okay. And that's what these disciples want to hear from Jesus, saying, I have given you this mandate, you're going out there, it's going to be okay, it's going to be great, you're going to be awesome, you're going to, you know, you're going to rock the world. It's just, you're good to go, it's going to be great. But that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say, you know what, I've given you this mandate, go make disciples and do all this, and you know what, you're going to be just fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about a thing. He doesn't say that. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And in saying that, Jesus goes sort of like one up on the assurance that they wanted to hear from him, that it's going to be okay, it's going to be fine, you're going to do great. He goes one up and says, I am with you. He gives them his very presence. He gives them the promise of his presence. He says, wherever it is that you go, whatever it is that you do, just know that I am with you. It might not be okay, it might not all pan out great, but know that I am with you always. And when Jesus gives such a promise, it's Jesus. Like, you can take that to the bank. That is like a promise. That is like a done deal. One of my favorite verses in scripture is Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Says, God is not a man that he should lie. And so when Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age, he means it. It means he is with you always to the very end of the age. And it's just an awesome promise that Jesus gives to the disciples. He just promises to be with them always. His presence is a better promise than saying it's going to be okay, than saying you're not going to meet any problems. His presence is a better promise because you know that Jesus is here with me. Whether it's through a hard time, you're having a hard time at work, know that Jesus is right here with me. He said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And so it's not just that, oh, I want it to get better. I want it to be fine. I want it to be okay. No. Because we know that that's not how things happen in this world. You know, sometimes, but that's all we want to hear. Like when my dad was getting surgery, all I wanted to hear was, he's going to be fine, Edith. He's going to be okay. That's all I wanted to hear. But then Jesus gives us a better promise. A promise better than just saying, it's going to be fine. A promise saying, I am with you. Always to the very end of the age. And that is a better promise. And that we can take to the bank. And that we can depend on. We can trust on. knowing that whatever season we're going through, whatever it is that we're going through, Jesus is with us always. And so when we hear those whispers of fear, saying, who is it who sent you? Do you think you know what you're doing? Do you know what's going on out here? Or how is this going to end? Are you sure this is going to, this is going to end up okay? When you hear those whispers in your ears, remember, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus gives this mandate. And this mandate is given to us. There's no special people that this mandate is for. It's not for, people who went to seminary, people who went to Bible college. It's not for pastors. It's not for the teaching team. This is for each and every one of us. Wherever it is that God has called you to be, whether it's in your home, whether it's at work, you're a teacher, you're a musician, what other things do people do? Whatever it is that you do, wherever it is that you go, remember that God has given us this mandate. Jesus has given us this mandate. And this is what we need to live by each and every day. As we walk into that workplace, it might be horrible. It might be, I've had a really bad week at work. My boss is the worst. We've all had those days. Like, my boss is the worst. He does not understand me. She does not understand me. But as you walk in there, remember, all authority is Jesus's. You're going there under Jesus' authority. Remember, he says to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what you're doing, to go and live out the mission that he has given you. And remember that whatever happens at that workplace, Jesus promises that he is with you always. However bad it gets, the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so however bad it gets, sometimes you think it can't get worse than this, and then it does. I can't be lower than this, and then it does. I can't be more broke than this, and then you're even broker. Is that a word? Not just broker, but more broker. When all that is happening, remember that Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that is the mandate that God has given us. That's the mandate that Jesus has given us. And it's the promise that Jesus has given us as well. I am with you always to the very end of the age. So as we go into this week, fulfilling the mission that God has given us, going forth as God's missionaries into our workplaces, into our homes, into our schools, into the city, remember that Jesus is with you always to the very end of the age. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for you are God. Thank you for you are the authority that surpasses any authority here on earth, and that we can ride on your authority, that we go forth in your authority. And thank you that you have made your mandate clear to us to go and make disciples of all nations. And thank you for your promise, your wonderful promise, your precious promise that you will always be with us to the very end of the age. And thank you that we can rely on these promises. Thank you that we can rely on your word this morning. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.